describe Richard Bell?
He has a passion for art, but he has a love for protest.
I'm an activist masquerading as an artist.
He really has that political edge to his art.
He's going to prod you and he's going to put a hot needle and it's going to hit the nerve.
There's two types of Richard Bells.
There's Richie and there's a Richard.
He's actually very sensitive, and that fierce intelligence comes from what he's endured.
Had my home bulldozed when I was 14, and that pretty much shaped me when I was politicised here in Redfern.
It was such an ingenious protest. These four young men turning up to the lawns of Parliament House with nothing but placards and a beach umbrella.
And it made the greatest statement we ever made.
Aboriginal art has become a commodity. It's not controlled by Aboriginal people. Why can't an art movement arise and be separate from, but equal to, Western art?
We've been able to create a space for disenfranchised voices.
Perhaps one of the most important Australian artworks of all time.
He has captivated the world, basically, but not Australians.
And the young kids coming through, to know that they've got heroes embedded in the past of this country, and that's where they can draw their strength from.
He paints what we think. He paints for us.
So it was a great honour to see your film. You can leave now. Tell me, did Larissa Brandt come to you with the idea of doing this film, or was this an extension of your artistic activism?
No, it's a bit more convoluted than that. It's like I'm interested in filmmaking, like, and but I want to be able to make them myself, you know, like, so to do that, you know, you have to have these credits. So, you know, like, apparently this idea of making this documentary was quite appealing to some people, you know, in the film industry, and well, I could get some credits out of it. So I thought, yeah, okay, I'll do that, because that was the main reason why I sort of allowed it to happen.
Right. Okay. Yeah. You like you said, you've had experience exploring with film, haven't you?
Yeah. I'm learning about film on the go. You know, like I did with art. I learned, you know, like, while making.
Yeah.
So I was self-taught, and I want to do something similar. You know, like, with film. You know, like, only with film, it's a much bigger thing. You know, like, it's a collaboration. You know, like, you know, so many people, like, to make a film.
Yeah,
you're going to be part of a team.
Well, I'm radio for me is a little bit. I recognised a whole range of things about what you were doing. I mean, on a different level, of course, but it's a medium of expression because of things you want to say, used art as a direct message delivery system from the politics, the politics that you need. Well, the voice gave you voice, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, it took you know, art into different areas, you know, like of our society. You know, like, this was a way to get the message back to the, you know, to the ruling class, like, and that was one of the main reason I did it, was so that, you know, our own people would know about the discussions and that sort of thing, and what and what Aboriginal people have been thinking, you know, of these issues, you know, for decades, actually. You know, so, and it's very important that the young people learn about these histories, because they're not going to get taught, you know, these things in, you know, the school system. You know, the colonizers are not going to tell the history of their colonization, you know, so, sort of thing. So,
well, I was just listening to something that the Victorian Aboriginal Legal Service had on, and they were talking about things like stop this glorification of colonialization, like, you know, glorifying it. And I was really fascinated by something you said about the tin shed you guys lived in, that your stepfather built it without any nails. I was so impressed.
Well, they just used wire.
Yeah. That's remarkable.
Threaded it through the tin. You know, it was much stronger than nails. Those things didn't blow away. and they bulldozed that place. You know, they would have, you know, had to, you know, use the full force for sure.
Yeah, but it's the business about manipulating the environment. That's what you do with your art. But you're very courageous. That's the other thing that we're talking about. This idea of not getting caught up in the colonial message and actually saying what it is that Aboriginal people have been wanting to say. With, you know, like, it's like the thing about, sorry to be impolite, I'm sorry, I live in a country of racists, you know. It's that humour. That's my point. It's the humour that does it.
Yeah, well, that was something that I saw on a Gary Foley T-shirt.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, from a protest, you know, like back in the 70s. You know, like, a lot of my work, you know, like, reflects, you know, the opinions of the old Black Power movement. You know, that's I was politicized here, in, you know, in Sydney and Redfern, you know, like in the 70s. You know, like, and like, well, that's what you see in my work is that kind of thinking. You know, sort of like a Black nationalist approach to our circumstances. So I've clung to those ideas, you know, like, you know, since.
Can you tell me a little bit about the rise and rise, basically, of Black art that you're part of? Because the art scene it's about money, and it's owned by quite the difference between art and capital is quite stark, you know. It's not an easy journey to gain recognition.
Oh my God. I make political art. You know, like, and I say that I make political art. Political art makes up just 4% of the entire art market, right? So, and that's why you see a lot of contemporary artists, you know, like, who will say that they don't make political art. Whereas you're like, oh, I just couldn't give a fuck. I just say, okay, well, I make political art. That's what I do. Like, if it's if the art market's only 4%, well, like, it's much easier to grow that 4% than it is to grow the 96%.
Well, one of my sisters is a printmaker, and she told me once that some people that were interested in her work, they would say they want them to be this size. It's just extra size. And I remember going to a pro arts place in the desert, and a person said, "Oh, how much is that piece of art?" And the person didn't have a sign on it, so they turned it around and said, "Oh, it's the same size as that one, so it must be the same price."
yeah, but that's, you know, it's well, art's not real estate. Like, real estate you can measure in size. You know, like, it's not really relevant. You know, but I've got to say that I like making big works. You know, like I wanted to be life size sort of thing. So
tell me, in relation to making the film, I mean, it's a beautifully made film, and it shows Redfern really interestingly, because I know I'm old enough to know, I mean, I'm not Koori, but I've been aware of what's been going on for a long time. But right. It's neat the way it curates the... And it's got the footage of the times. It must have been quite compelling for you to see all the people there that you recognise, real people.
Yeah. Well, I got to admit, I haven't seen any of that that old footage. So they must have dredged far and wide to get that.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. And also... So did they sit down with you to tell the story that they were going to tell? How did it get developed? How did you fit into all that?
Oh, gee, I don't know. You're asking the wrong person. You should be asking Larissa.
So how did you experience it then? How did you experience it? Because it's about your life. She's such a great filmmaker. I mean, she made that fantastic film about Maralinga, which was just so breathtaking. Now, this one here is breathtaking too, because it shuffles through like cards your life, and it's just so expert as well as so... you're so funny. You're a funny man. You know, like as in hilarious. Well, I find you really funny.
Well, humour is such a big part of Aboriginal life. That's all I can say. You're like, really, you're like, it's like we have to laugh. You're like, otherwise, you're like, it would be tragic. You're like, if we didn't have laughter, you're like, looking at what's happened to us. You're like, we've lost a whole continent. You're like, the wealth of this land has been, just plundered from us. Non-stop, for more than two centuries. It's mind-blowingly tragic, that this set of circumstances right here in front of us, and we are nailed to the bottom of the society here. Every single load of boat people that's come here has slotted in directly above us, below everybody else, below the first fleet, the second fleet, the third fleet, below the migrants after the war, World War Two, the World War One, World War Two, the Vietnam War, the wars, in Africa, the wars in South America, all these people who've come here, all of them slot in above us. This is why we're in this situation, that we're in. And these people, they have as their national day, the arrival of their first fleet of colonizers. It's unbelievably hurtful, doing that and maintaining that. That it must never be changed. It's
pretty shocking. But also I was brought up in a country town. The deathly silence over the massacres. And so it's like your art and your saying things really blatantly is directly oppositional to that deathly silence.
Correct. Yeah, and this, and I knew that these stories would leave these shores, you know, like and find their ways overseas, you know, like and that's where the most recognition that I get, you know, comes from international, you know, sources. Here, I don't have anywhere near as much attention paid. Like, I've never had a show at any of the state galleries or the National Gallery of Australia. I've never had a solo show with them, really? Any of them. And to be honest, I don't want one. Like, it would suit my reputation better if I never have one.
In the film, there's a lot of younger people, in fact, second generation people, like Sam Watson's daughter, for example.
Yeah.
This is important too, isn't it? That the message of the stand up, fight back, it continues.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, like this, you know, like the tribute to the young people that my Aboriginal Tent Embassy Project is. That's, you know, it's a tribute to those young people, but, you know, as well as being to the young people who established the original Tent Embassy. So the youth have a very important role to play, like in this whole episode, you know, that's playing out before us. You know, so
have you had good responses to the film?
All my friends tell me it's great.
I think it's great.
You want to be my friend?
I think it's a great film. Well, I think she's a great filmmaker, but also I think that I was familiar with all those paintings, you know, like your paintings. I was familiar, but I wasn't familiar with you. I knew they've had an effect on the activism at 3CR and the activism here, but I didn't know you were the one who was responsible for putting them up there on the wall.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, then you're like, oh, all these things, you know, that they came from, you know, this Aboriginal consciousness, you know, like that I was able to tap into, you know, like through the Black Power movement, you know, like that's how I got access to a lot of this knowledge and this way of thinking, you know, that I've still maintained, you know, like it runs my life, you know, my mode of art making, you know, because, you know, arrives from and derives from those discussions, that way of thinking.
The politicisation. Though there were a couple of incidents in the film, like when you were a young boy, you learned about dialectic, really, discussion, right, and standing up, right. That was really important. But also, there was another bit. You had a very tough time at a certain point, and you sort of lost yourself into the streets, and that was very moving, I'll have to say. But there was something that, you know, with Archie Roach dying, his sister in her eulogy or whatever, she was saying that a quote from her was that he chose to live. I just thought, and it's the same thing, right?
Yes, it was. You know, like those people that I met on the streets, you know, they were prepared to, you know, to drink themselves to death. You know, they preferred death, you know, to live in this lie, you know, that we all have to, you know, live through.
Thanks for spending some time with me, having a chat.
My pleasure. Like, I hope all your listeners, like, go out and go and check out this film, you know, like you'll learn something about this country. You know, like I think, you know, like you'll learn something, you know, about us. You know, like, and I think it's really important, you know, that that people are aware of these issues that are brought up in this film.